Well, we're into the second day of a brand new year, and we don't know what tomorrow holds, but as the old proverb says, we know who holds tomorrow. The key is to make sure that we're in the hands of the one who holds tomorrow, the sovereign God of this universe. We need to know that we have been purchased by the blood of Jesus Christ, indwelt by the Spirit of God, our names written in the Lamb's Book of Life, and when those things are in order, we can face day by day without fear, without trepidation. So today we're going to go to the message I preached last year, first of last year, for the new year. I want you to ask the Holy Spirit to give you ears to hear and glean from this message all that you can as you face this new year. Here's the message. Is entitled A Clearer Understanding. Be blessed as you listen.
In Psalm 91, and you'd be surprised the different camera angles on this psalm. And what I'm trying to do this morning, I mean, I gave this a really different kind of title for the message. It's called A Clearer Understanding. A Clearer Understanding. What I want to do this morning, and I've worked on this now for a couple, 3 days, as I processed it even before then, but I want to try to help each and every one of us because we're facing a new year. And we have no idea what the new year holds. But we know there's some dark clouds on the horizon of the nations of the world. We live in a world full of viruses and violence. And let me say this going into it, nowhere in Scripture are we as the people of God exempted from pain, suffering, illness, disease, nor injury. It's not there. Paul was sick. Moses was sick. Workers with Paul were sick. We find different ones in the Scriptures that suffered different kinds of maladies. But the longer I looked at this, I thought we need to better understand this because we do live in a world full of viruses and violence. And from time to time, they touch the people of God. Not everybody who caught the COVID and died during the pandemic were unbelievers. You had some believers who contracted COVID and died. Not everybody in car accidents are non-believers. Not everybody who is a victim of violence are non-believers. No, it happens across the board. So while we're not guaranteed an exemption from these things, we do have this relief. We have access to the throne of God. We know He watches over us. We know He protects us. We know that. And sometimes God has to permit a thing in a life in order to correct something in that life. And that's something we need to bear in mind as well. Sometimes the Lord has to allow a thing in our lives, we can find this in Scripture, in order to correct things that are in our lives. So as we come through this morning, I'm going to start just a moment with Psalm 91. And I'm going to look at verses 1 and 2 firstly because I want you to understand what these verses are saying and find out where you fit into it. In Psalms 91, now David is speaking here. We're going to transition in a few moments. Here, David is speaking. In a few moments, we will transition and God is speaking. But here, David is speaking in Psalm 91:1. Now watch what happens here. I think sometimes we read the Scriptures and we kind of glaze over them. So yeah, I got that. when we really don't have that. And I'm going to tell you right now, it's amazing to me the different camera angles on these scriptures and some who don't even speak to these scriptures. There's some commentaries that really don't even speak to some of these scriptures. Verses 6, 10, others don't even speak to it. But right now we're looking at verses 1 and 2. So what I want you to do, because we're getting ready for a brand new year, I want you to listen closely, starting with Psalm 91, verse 1. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. It is he that dwells in the secret place of the Most High. What is the secret place? Where is the secret place? The best understanding we have of this is the Holy of Holies. He that dwells in the presence of God, if you will, in all of his holiness. He that dwells, do you dwell there? I didn't ask you if you're born again. I didn't ask you that. I said, is this where you live? Day by day, are you dwelling in the secret place of the Most High? Are you day by day in his presence, knowingly, consciously, in his presence, and seeking day by day his face as well as his hands? This is where we live. Now the rest of this psalm is going to speak to those who are there. And I don't know of any of us really that are there. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. In Psalm 92, now you just stay with me in Psalm 91. I'm going to take you to a couple other scriptures to make sure you understand what I'm saying, but you just stay with Psalm 91. But in Psalm 27, verse 5, David said, for in the time of trouble, he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the time of trouble, he, God, shall hide me in his pavilion, in the secret of the tabernacle shall he hide me. He shall set me upon a rock. So David here is defining, if you will, to some degree, that secret place in his presence. For example, Psalm 31:20. Thou shalt hide them in the secret of thy presence from the pride of men. You shall keep them secretly in a pavilion from the strife of tongues. So we keep coming back. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. That shadow is a, if you will, a protective covering. Now, I was going to bring this out later, but I'm going to do it right here now. J. Vernon McGee talks about two men in his congregation. One was a foot soldier. The other was a fighter pilot in the Navy. And both these men came to him and said, Dr. McGee, the foot soldier said, going into the service and into combat, I claimed this psalm. And God took care of me. The Navy fighter pilot came to him and said, Dr. McGee, in combat, in the situation that I was in, I claimed this psalm. And God took care of me. So there's two men in J. Vernon McGee's congregation who came to him and talked about claiming this psalm and how God took care of them. But we had people claiming this psalm during the pandemic and found that they themselves were subject to some discomfort from the pandemic. We come back to this again. As we come through this now, Where is your faith level? He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Psalms 91:2. I, David is speaking here now, I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge. What's he saying? I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge. He may not be his, he may not be hers, but he's my refuge. I will say of the Lord, this is my testimony, He is my refuge and my fortress. My fortress. My God. In Him will I trust. Don't let that escape you. Don't let that escape you. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge. He is my fortress. My God. In Him will I trust. Refuge. Refuge carries the idea of a place of hope and a place of covering. He's saying that He's my covering. Shall dwell in the shadow of the Almighty. In the shadow of the Almighty, that protective covering. He is my fortress. What is that fortress? The fortress is a place of defense. That's what it's all about. He is my refuge. He is my defense. Verse 3. Now this is where it starts getting troubled water. Surely He shall deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. From the snare of the fowler. What is the snare of the fowler? The snare of the fowler is this. And it carries the idea of the fowler who wanted to catch birds. And some wanted to catch animals. And they would set different traps and different snares in order to entrap the bird or the animal. And so when you say the fowler here, he will deliver you, you got to understand that every day of the world, you're up against the schemes, wiles, strategy, tactics, the agenda of the enemy. None are exempt. None are exempt. And so what the psalmist is saying here, watch it just again now, He shall deliver me. He shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler, from the schemes, the snares, the wiles, the devices, the tactics, the agenda of the enemy, and from the noisome pestilence. Now, when you start breaking this thing down to the Greek, for example, the Greek word for pestilence there is devar. But yet that same Greek, and in the, you have to deal with this in dealing with Greek, you can have the Greek word here, and it's interpreted this way, and you put it down here, and it's interpreted this way. Surely He shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler, from the noisome pestilence. Surely He shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler, and from the noisome pestilence. That word debar means a destroying plague or disease. That word carries the idea of a destroying plague or disease. But then you come to this. In applying that word, you can come to this, say, well, it can attach, but it cannot destroy. It can attach, but it cannot destroy. Now, you can go to any different number of commentaries, and you can go to any different number of footnotes, and you can see what their camera angle is. As I poured through this thing for the last 3 or 4 days, and researching the Hebrew, researching the Greek, going to different scholars, checking different sources to find out, is there a commonality? Is there some common ground that we can meet on? And quite frankly, it's so diverse. It's so diverse that you just got to come down to this. You are not immune from a disease. you are open to injury, illness, sickness, or disease. But you have access. You have access to the one who can offset that disease, that illness, that injury, who can protect you and can bring healing. And some say to this, put it this way, it can attack but not attach. It can attack you but cannot attack you. The word noise from there carries the idea of destruction. It can attach but it cannot attack in the sense that it can destroy you. So we know that we had some very strong men of faith in the Word of God who were attacked. They went through serious illnesses. Some didn't know if they were going to live or not. But they were men of God, women of God, and they were attacked. But the word here, noisome, carries the idea, can attach, can attack, but not destroy. Now we come to verse 4. He, God, shall cover you with his feathers, and under his wings shall you trust. His truth, here it is, his truth shall be your shield and your buckler. How much of the Word of God do you really know? And how much of the Word of God do you really understand? And how much of the Word of God do you really obey? I mean, when you look, I said a moment ago, this is so serious and so many people are suffering because they don't understand this. Sanctification is an ongoing process. Salvation is an event. Sanctification is a process. But the process of sanctification only continues as we continually die to self, so that as we die to self, Christ Jesus can manifest in us and through us. To do that, we've got to have the Word. We have to absorb the Word. We have to live the Word. We have to believe the Word. We have to trust the Word. We have to embrace the Word. The Word has to become a part of us. And that is what changes us as we bring our lives into compliance with the Word of God. Once again, he shall cover thee with his feathers. Under his wing shall you trust. His truth shall be your shield and buckler. Truth, this. The Word of God is your shield and buckler. Now, the idea of shield there carries the idea of just a shield that the normal soldier carried that he could deflect swords and arrows with. But the word buckler there carries the idea, and there's two different definitions on that. Scholars disagree among themselves. But here's where I'm at. As I look at buckler, and some talk about a rounded shield, but you've got the shield, but the buckler carries more the idea of a coat of mail, a coat of metal that the soldier could wear that covered his entire body. He has his shield, he has his sword, he has a coat of mail on. That deflects arrows, that deflects, of course, the sword blow, that kind of thing. So that's what he's saying here. Look at it once again now. He shall cover you with his feathers. The idea here is like an eagle or a mother hen. She sees danger. She sees a hawk up there. So she puts out a signal, opens up her wings, and all the little biddies, the little birds run up to the mama. She closes her wings down over them, and they're protected there. That's the point he's making here, that he shall cover you with his feathers. He will call you, come to me for your safety, come to me for your security. I will enclose you, I will encompass you, and I will draw you up close to myself. And under his wings shall you trust. His truth shall be your shield and your buckler. Meaning this, now you've got the shield, you've got the coat of mail on, and you're totally, totally protected. He shall cover thee with his feathers. Under his wings you shall trust. Verse 5. You shall not be afraid. Well, now, How many of us walk in fear? How much of the church walks in fear? Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flies by day. Now, the heathens broke demons down to two groups. And that's what this is alluding to. The heathens broke demons down into two groups. They had those group of demons that worked primarily at night. Then they had those demons that worked primarily in the daytime. And so what he's doing, he's covering both the bases here. You shall not be afraid of that which works at night, nor for the arrow that flies by day. So he's covering nighttime confidence, nighttime trust, nighttime protection. Daytime trust, daytime protection, daytime confidence. You don't have to worry. The arrow that flies by day, those are the fiery darts of the devil. And he's hitting you with them. I didn't get out of bed this morning till he was hitting me with trying to get me to some thoughts of accusation. We're driving to church. I've poured out my heart before the Lord, talked about what I want this year to be like with him. And this car pulls up beside us at a traffic light, and all the windows were down. And I made note of the car and who was in the car and what I figured was going on in the car. And I told the Lord, well, I just left my prayer closet and I'm sitting here, all kinds of judgmental accusation thoughts. I know you're never there because you're too spiritual. But I have to put up with this stuff because I'm in the ministry. You don't have to put up with this, right? So sitting right there, I had to start confessing. Already, I'm having to battle accusing thoughts, judgmental thoughts. So I got it taken care of. But those arrows, and it's going to come at different times of the day. It's going to come at different levels. It's going to carry a different message with it. For yours, it may be your judgmentalism or your criticism or your prejudice or whatever it may be. But those arrows are going to come. It is as you're resting in Christ and as you're resting in His Word, as you're confident in His Word, that these things can't affect you. You will not be afraid of what works at night, the darkness, nor the fiery darts of the enemy. Ephesians 6:16, the Word of God says, above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. There it is. Taking the shield of faith, wherewith you will be able to quench all the entire gambit. Because he has a quiver full of different... He knows where to hit you. I've told you this for how many years. He knows where we're all vulnerable. He knows where to prick us. And he knows what you went through earlier today that puts you in a mindset that he can use this on you now. He doesn't use the same arrow every day. He doesn't even use the same arrow in the afternoon that he uses in the morning. Sometimes he uses one in the morning just to get you off balance, to get your wrong attitude. I had that the other day. I had to come through a 4, 5, 6 hours of getting things because I got aggravated. I was aggravated. And the smartest thing I can do, when this happens to me, now you can do what you want to with it. The smartest thing I can do when something like that happens to me is shut up. Just shut up. Because if I don't shut up, once I start giving verbalization to it, it may get even more so than it already is. So then I have to be careful. And I've said to you that one of my rules in life is try not to say anything you're going to regret 5 seconds, 5 minutes, 5 hours, or 50 years from now. And so if I just shut up and me and the Lord talk about it, and I can tell him I'm not happy. You can say that, Lord, I'm not happy. And here's why I'm not happy. And here's what I'm not happy with. And then you pray for him and you let the Holy Spirit minister that to you and through you. But here we go again. Ephesians 1:6-16. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. We look at that. You have no idea how many fiery darts he's got that he's going to use against you. And it's only the shield of faith. The shield of faith, the Word of God says that we can quench all the fire darts of the wicked. Because he has a quiver full of them. And he'll use them all on you. Now we come back to verse 6. This is one of those verses that some men don't even touch. And I'm reluctant to touch it myself. But I want to help us better understand this. Nor for the pestilence that walks in darkness. There it is, darkness. Nor for the destruction that wastes at noonday. Folks, I got to be honest with you. Sometimes in researching, I get exasperated. I get exasperated at biblicists and other men who brought things into the mix, and I thought, you're not addressing the issue. You're not focused on the issue. You're talking about the demons at night and the demons during the day and what these people believed and what those people believed and how they believed about this and how they believed that. Why don't you bring this in here and say to us, this is where it's at and this is what you can put your confidence in. So when I look at something like this, and this is one of those verses, this is one of those verses, number 6, right here. Look at it now. Nor for the pestilence. What is the pestilence, I ask myself? Well, it's a destroying plague or disease. Now we got to be, come on now. A pestilence is a destroying plague or disease. Was COVID a destroying plague or disease? Did it attack the dwellings of some believers? So you see, there's a wrong understanding here. Nowhere, you got to take the Bible line upon line, precept upon precept, comparing Scripture with Scripture. Nowhere in the Word of God are we made exempt from sickness, illness, disease. It's not there. We have access to our loving Heavenly Father. We have access to the name of Jesus. We have access to the blood of Christ. But the point I'm making here is that when you look at this, you've got to put this in context with everything else. Nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasted noonday. That is a destroying plague or disease. Nor for the destruction of wasted noonday. Now let me read that to you in another version. Do not dread the disease that stalks in darkness, nor the disaster that strikes in midday. Now we bring it. Now, let me encapsulate something here for you. What he's saying there is, what that translation is saying, is you can't go through life. Every time somebody sneezes or coughs around you, you go to pieces. Life is full of people who cough. Life is full of people who sneeze. Life is full of people who are carriers who themselves are not sick. But they're carriers. You shake hands. Not everybody is going to go into Publix, grab a hygiene thing and wipe down the handle. Did the guy cough in his hand and then put his hand on the handle? And did he have the virus in him when he put his cough in his hand and put it on the handle? Be real, people. Your own protection is Jesus Christ. Bottom line of everything I'm teaching. Now, you need to dwell in the secret place of the Most High. You need to abide under the shadow of the Almighty. You need day by day to take up the shield of faith. You need day by day to put on your spiritual buckler. Every day you walk out of your house, you have to understand I am in the midst of a sin-cursed, sin darkened, wicked, nasty, evil world in which disease, viruses, injury, accidents, violence occurs. That's reality. That's reality. And no, a vaccination is not going to keep you from getting sick. We already got people with the vaccine dropping dead. And they're thinking that's because of the vaccine. We have others who've had the vaccine, and they still got sick two or three times after the vaccine. Bottom line, Jesus Christ. You got to abide in the shelter of the Almighty. I'll show you that again in just a moment. In Psalms 91, verse 7, 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. Not come nigh who? I'm trying to stir you here. Will not come nigh who? He that dwells in the secret place of the Most High. You see, I'm seeing in here, what I'm doing is I'm attaching what is said here to that position. And I'm saying, okay, those in this position have more protection than those who are not in this position. Why? Because God said, now, once again, and I'm really trying to stretch you, it stretches me, so why don't I stretch you? Proverbs 3, 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Without reservation. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will establish your path. He will direct your path. Now stop and think about what we're saying. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart? That's big, folks. It's the Word of God. I didn't write it. But that's big. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways, every decision you're making, every purpose, every plan that you're about to pick up, in all your ways, acknowledge Him first. Acknowledge Him, the Word of God says, and He will direct your path. I would to God I had done that for a lifetime. I wouldn't have made near as many dumb mistakes I made and bad mistakes and bad decisions I made. But I can't change it. The Lord, about 5 weeks ago, the Lord brought me there. Jerked me up by the neck and brought me over there and said, look at this. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, Bob. Don't lean to your own understanding because you'll blow it. In all your ways, everything you're going to do, in all your ways, acknowledge Him. Acknowledge me. Get my guidance. Get my direction. Get my timing. In all your ways, acknowledge me, and I will direct your path. Well, what part of life does that not apply to? Folks, this is reality. What part of life does that not apply to? And who's going to do that? We're supposed to get there. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will direct your path. Now we come back to Psalm 91 again. Watch it carefully. 1,000 shall fall at your side, and 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not come nigh you. David had lived this. David had lived this. Others have lived this. That fighter pilot I was telling you about, that foot soldier I was telling you about in J. Vernon McGee's church, they lived this. Some of us have lived this. I told you going into the pandemic, when the first rattle out of the box, when they told us about COVID-19, I said to BG and then to you, I said, the worst is yet to come. I said, because there will be variant after variant after variant. Now they're telling us that there is a variant out there, I was reading about the other night, that they say is more contagious than even COVID-19. And it's going to continue, folks. It's going to continue. So you've got to decide, as you look at something like Psalm 91, okay, maybe I'm not dwelling in the secret place of the Most High. Maybe I'm not covered by the shadow of the Almighty. Maybe I'm not trusting the Lord with all my heart. Maybe I'm not seeking His guidance, His direction in everything I do. You're going to need to do that. Verse 9. Now I'm going to take verses 9 and 10 together. Psalm 91, verse 9 and verse 10 together. Because you have made the Lord, which is my refuge. There it is. Look at it again. David saying, you've made the Lord, which is my refuge. David says, He is my refuge. I have no other refuge. I have no other source. He is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation. There shall no evil befall thee. Notice it doesn't say no sickness will come. It says no evil. Don't let that escape you. No evil shall befall thee. Then it goes on, neither shall any plague. That word plague again carries the idea of a death-causing disease. Come near thee. Now, in 1854, Spurgeon was fairly new to London, and the Asiatic cholera hit the nation, and people were dying like flies. And I read Spurgeon's account of this, and he was talking about the funerals and the visitation and the hospital and the homes. And he was talking about how exhausted he was. He was trying to meet the needs of a congregation in which people were just dying like flies, if you will. People getting sick, calling for him. And one day he was walking back from a funeral and something caught his eye up in a shoe shop, a cobbler shop, if you will. And the guy had taken this verse, printed it out, and put it in the window. Because you've made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy salvation, there shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. Charles Spurgeon said at that point he claimed it. See, I can't claim a verse for you. I can't claim a promise of God for you. You can't claim a promise of God for me. I've got to be in the secret place of the Most High. I've got to look at that scripture and say, what does this scripture say to me? How does this scripture impact my life? Can I embrace this scripture? This Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 rung me out because I realized how much of my life I had lived not trusting completely, totally, thoroughly, 150% in the Lord. How much of my life I had not, and all of us in here are guilty of that. Every last one of us. There's not one of us in here that can say, boy, yeah, I got it down. I trust in the Lord with all my might. I seek His guidance. I seek His face. I seek His direction. In everything I do, I don't make a move, preacher, till I have checked with the Lord and got His direction. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Coming now down to verse 12. Talking about angels. Look at verse 91 and 11 again. He shall give His angels charge over you to keep you in all your ways. We know from the Word of God there are guardian angels. And as best we can understand, individuals who are believers are watched over by angels. The Word gives us some indication, and Biblicists agree, that angels are given charge over believers. And they watch over us, and they protect us from things we don't have the foggiest idea what they've protected us from. They protect us, according to the Word of God. They shall bear you up in their hands, lest you dash your foot against the stone. Lest you dash your foot against the stone. Isn't that exactly what Satan said to Jesus in tempting him up to the top of the pinnacle? Cast yourself down, because it is written. Satan knows Scripture. He knows Scripture better than a lot of believers do. Satan knows Scripture. Because isn't it written, they shall pick you up unless you dash your foot against the stone? Go ahead, cast yourself down. What did Jesus say? You shall not tempt the Lord your God. You don't test Him. You don't tempt Him. Verse 13. You shall tread. Now this is you. He's talking to you. You shall tread upon the lion and adder. The young lion and the dragon shall you trample under feet. What he's saying there is, when you dwell in the secret place of the Most High, when you're trusting in the Lord with all your heart, when you lean not to your own understanding, all of that is involved in this. What he's saying there is that you can then claim victory over every obstacle and every enemy that comes against you. Look at it again very carefully. You shall tread upon the lion and the adder. Now, what is the adder? We read this for a lifetime. What is the adder? In this context, it's the most poisonous snake known to mankind. As a matter of fact, Cleopatra, once she saw the handwriting on the wall, and she saw that she was going to be captured and taken back to Rome as a specimen of their power, capturing Egypt, destroying Egypt, that's the way she died. She had them bring in an adder. And there's no pain, they tell us, there's no pain. You just go to sleep, but you don't wake up. It kills you. So she had to bring in an adder and let the adder bite her, rather than be carried to Rome as a specimen of Rome's power and the weakness of Egypt. So the Word here is telling us that's the most poisonous snake you can come across. And the Word is telling us here, you shall tread upon the lion, the adder, the young lion, the dragon, shall you trample under feet. In other words, what he's saying is, if you're doing what he tells you to do, you can emerge victorious over all your enemies. Now, let's break that down for just a moment. He is saying to you, folks, please hear me, because there's some dark clouds on the horizon, nationally and internationally. There are some dark clouds on the horizon. So he listened to me carefully. What he's saying to you in this verse is that you do what he's telling you to do. You dwell in the secret place of the Most High. You abide under the shadow of the Almighty. You take into consideration all the promises and the Word of God. And he is saying to you, you will emerge victorious over every enemy that comes against you. Physically, emotionally, spiritually. That's not saying you won't get sick, but you'll come out of it shouting hallelujah. It's simply telling you that you will emerge victorious. Yes. Yes. We're subject to these things. But we can come out the backside of them stronger and more faithful than we were going into it. Psalm 91:14 is where the Lord starts speaking. Because, now this is God speaking. This is the Lord speaking, because he has set his love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high, because he hath known my name. Now that's God speaking to those who dwell in the secret place of the Most High. Because he has set his love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high because he hath known my name. Look at verse 15. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. You answer the prayer. You have access. I told you going into it, you're not immune, but you have access. And God is speaking here in Psalm 91, verse 15. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. That's God's promise to you. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. He will call upon me, and I will answer him. I'll be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. Now look at verse 16. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. As best I can determine this, and I've researched this thing, and this is where I'm at personally. These promises of God speak to the defense, if you will, for those who dwell in the secret place of the Most High day after day after day. They're in a special protective shadow of the Lord. Sometimes God has to use sickness in a life to get rid of something in the life. Sometimes the Lord, and I'm not talking preacher talk here, I've lived this. I've had the Spirit of God speak to me. I know of a couple of instances where He stopped me dead in my tracks with a physical infirmity that stopped me from doing something I was planning on doing in the spirit realm. But I was wrong in the way I was going to handle it. You have to understand this. One of the things I would ask the Lord, anytime there is a physical disorder, what am I supposed to learn from this? What am I supposed to walk away from this with? What am I supposed to learn from this? What is there in my life, in my attitudes, my actions, my responses, that you want me to correct? I'm willing to correct it. When you say to the Lord, your word says I'm to love you with all my heart and soul and mind and strength, and I probably don't love you with all my heart and soul and mind and strength, but, are you ready? I'm willing to be enabled and empowered to love you with all my heart, soul, mind, and strength. I'm willing, Lord. I'm willing to be enabled and empowered. Now, I realize that in order for you to do that, I realize for you to do that, you're going to have to show me things in my life that are displeasing to you that I need to come to grips with. Once you start analyzing your thought life, your attitudes toward this group of people, your attitude toward this activity, your attitude towards this, and you start realizing how much of what you process up here is not in keeping with Christ's likeness, then you're on a better road to understanding what He's talking about here. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High. If I'm going to dwell in the secret place of the Most High, there's a lot of stuff I can't carry into that presence with me. Are you with me? I just can't go into that presence with some of the stuff that unless I'm real careful, I'll try to take into His presence. I can't do that. So, the Lord is speaking to you as far as I'm concerned. I finally brought this thing down to this. I could name you a couple of national pastors who don't even speak to some of these verses. I was surprised. I was surprised when I went to check a couple of national, and I'm not naming anybody, I'm not putting anybody down. And I think they don't address those verses because in reality, we know that in reality, we're up against some of this stuff. And you can be misunderstood very carefully. But the bottom line for me in all this is this. Take God at His word. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow, the protective covering of the Almighty. That does not mean that I'm never going to have a sniffle or a backache or something else, but it means this. It means that I am His child and I am devoted to trying to, best I know how and best I can, submit and surrender to His lordship. Don't maintain attitudes or actions or reactions or responses that are contrary to His character and His word, and then leave the results up to Him. I got one last comment I made here. Prepare for what's to come by dwelling in the secret place of the Most High. Get ready for what's coming down the pike at us. Get ready by dwelling in the secret place of the Most High. You probably have a couple of questions. What are they? Anybody got any questions on anything I covered this morning? If you do, I want it. Excuse me?
Define the secret place.
In the presence of God. Think of it as the Holy of Holies in the tabernacle. That's, and two or three other people have the same thing. Some of the scholars that I'm not a scholar. I'm a Biblicist, but I'm not a scholar. But I ask myself tough questions. I say, all right, He that dwelleth in the secret place, where is the secret place? Best I can determine, Roger, is talking about, David's talking about the Holy of Holies in the tabernacle. In other words, in the intimate presence and fellowship with God. That's the best I know to describe it. Intimacy, fellowship, communion with God. In His presence, day by day by day. Does that help?
How did David pull pretty bad things over the years? How did he get squared away with it?
He had to learn that secret. That's why it shows up in Psalm 91. He had to learn that secret of dwelling in the secret place. He had some ups and downs in his life. He committed adultery. He was involved in all kinds of stuff, but he finally got there where he said, He that dwells in the secret place of the Most High. He finally got there. Sanctification, dying to self.
So it's not just in your prayer closet.
No, it's not just in your prayer closet.
It's about walking in communion with God at all times.
It is living in His presence. Living in His presence. Yes. Yes. See, most of you, let's be realistic. Most of you go to the doctor. You say, I got this problem. He says, okay. There. And then you got to lay that before the Lord. Or you just go out and buy the pill and pop it. So your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit. Now, I'm having to come through this keyhole myself, so I'm just being as transparent as I know how to be with you. Because I'm having to come through this keyhole. You've got to learn how to pause and wait for the peace. Do I have your peace in this? Do I have your peace to do this? Do I have your peace to handle this way? Do I have your peace? And does the peace remain? And if the peace does not remain, I can't do it.
Well, once again, thank you so much for joining us today here on Challenge. And before I sign off today, let me remind you of our concert of prayer this coming Sunday evening January the 5th. To join us, and I trust that you will, please go to our website, challengerministries.com. Click on Listen at the top of the page. Then drop down and click on 24/7 Streaming. At 10 minutes to 7, I'll start playing music softly while you prepare your heart to pray. Then at exactly 7 p.m., I'll announce the first item for prayer, give you some 7 to 8 minutes to pray that item of prayer while I play music softly in the background. Then I will close that item of prayer out with prayer, announce the next item for prayer, and in 50 minutes, we'll cover 5 issues facing our nation today. Then we'll take the last 10 minutes of that 1 hour together, and we'll pray for you, your concerns, your burdens, and your problems. That is this Sunday evening, January the 5th at 7 p.m. Why don't you make a note right now to join us in this time of collective corporate prayer together before the throne of God on behalf of this nation and the kingdom of God in this nation. Once again, thank you so much for joining us today here on Challenge, and until we get a chance to get together and do this again like this, be ever so blessed. Be ever so blessed.